Chapter 8, Your Most Valuable Asset. You know how most of the time we have to hear a given message multiple times from multiple different people in multiple different ways, as well as experiencing it ourselves before it truly clicks in our brains? Well, that's how it was for me when it came to building my own mailing list. As I was studying direct response marketing and internet marketing, I kept on hearing everyone say over and over again how building your own list is the number one thing you have to be doing if you want to have long-term success. Unfortunately for me, it had about the same effect that a parent telling their kid to clean up their room has. I heard it so many times that it sort of went in one ear and out the other. I did end up building my own list, of course, but not nearly as soon as I should have, which is too bad. Because once I did start doing it, I realized how central it was to making everything else in my business work. I've found, and many great marketers and copywriters swear by this as well, that physically writing something out, yes, I mean with a pen or pencil, is one of the best ways to remember it and actually make it a part of your regular thought process. For some reason, the act of transferring the thought from your brain to your hand helps to embed it into your mind. So write this down. The goal of all your marketing effort is to get your prospects to give you their contact information. There are many different ways you can incentivize them to do this. You can offer a free newsletter on your website. You can put together a series of messages and turn it into a free e-course where you send them a new lesson every day for 7 to 10 days. You can give them a free ebook. You can offer them a series of audio interviews. But however you do it, keep in mind that every time you want your prospect to take a given action, no matter how small, you have to give them a good reason to do it. Always be closing them on taking the next step. Now, the phrase mailing list may sound a little intimidating, but just like with most everything else in this book, this is something that's extremely easy to do and is not out of reach for you at all, thanks to the internet. All you need is something called an autoresponder. An autoresponder is a tool that delivers email messages to your prospects for you automatically. For example, once a prospect is put into your autoresponder, you might have 5 different messages all set up and ready to go, and the autoresponder will deliver them in sequence at whatever interval you decide, say 5 days apart. The amount of leverage you can achieve with this is enormous because there's no limit to the amount of prospects it can deliver these messages to. You only have to do the work once, and you can have the same messages sent to thousands of people over time, messages that you wrote months or even years ago. This is remote control selling at its best. The true power of having a list, though, lies in the fact that it's a group of people that has given you permission to stay in touch with them. This is a marketer's ultimate dream come true. The full significance of this may not completely sink in right now, but over time, as you start advertising and growing your business, you'll begin to see just how nice it is having an audience that has expressly told you that they want to hear from you. This changes your perspective and approach on a lot of things. Having someone on your list enables you to sell to them 10 times or even 100 times instead of having just a one-time interaction that goes nowhere. If someone visits your site and then leaves, the chances of them ever coming back are not good. Remember the 3 things in Chapter 6 we needed a marketing system to do for us? 1. Sift and sort through your prospects for you so that you only spend your valuable time with the best ones. 2. Pre-sell your prospects for you through educational marketing and continue the follow-up process with them. 3. Generate an immediate upfront retail profit or monetize your activity. Getting someone's contact information is critical to making all 3 of these things happen, but especially 2. The whole idea behind educational marketing is getting people to sell themselves naturally. This isn't always an overnight process. In fact, the majority of the time, it isn't. Everyone starts on the marketing timeline in a different spot and moves through it at a different pace. Many people won't be ready to buy something or make a commitment the first time they come across your offer. The way to move them through the timeline is by continually dripping quality information on them, investing in them before they take a chance on you. Timing also plays a huge part in someone's decision. If they don't say yes to what you're selling, it might not have anything to do with whether they're interested or not. They might actually really want what you have. It could just be that it's genuinely a bad time for them. Maybe they just got hit with a bunch of big bills. Maybe they're having problems at work or at home. Maybe they've got some major commitments coming up they have to focus on. It could be anything. You don't want to let these people slip through the cracks because 2 months from now, their situation may be totally different and they might be ready to buy. If you don't have any way of staying in touch with them, though, they'll go looking elsewhere and that sale may go to someone else. Another great thing about having a list that trusts and respects your advice is the doors it opens for you. It gives you a ton of freedom and flexibility because you can pick and choose what you want to promote. If a certain product or company is no longer performing, no problem. You can replace it with something else. If you find a new product that really adds value to your prospects' lives, you can promote that too. Say you've got a list of a couple thousand people that get your emails and you have a good relationship with them. The numbers are different for every list and every offer, of course. But done right and with a good list of subscribers like this, it wouldn't be hard for you to get a 5% conversion rate on an offer you decide to make to them. Say you come across a great product you want to recommend, and they have an affiliate program that pays you $25 for every sale you generate. You send out a couple emails to your list educating them about the need for this product or about the problem that it solves, and then you send out an email that makes the offer and directs them to your affiliate URL. Well, 2,000 subscribers times 5% conversion rate equals 1,000 sales times $25 commission per sale equals $2,500. That's $2,500 in a matter of days, all from sending out a few emails. What if you make offers like this to your list a few times a year? What about once a month? What if you have a bigger list than 2,000? At one point, I had built mine up to around 12,000 people, and I did a promotion where I sent out a series of emails educating people and pre-selling them on the main offer I was going to make. I did this for about 3 to 4 weeks prior to the actual offer. After the email with the offer went out, I pulled in $45,493 in 2 days from my list. Like I said, a lot of the time we have to experience something firsthand before we can truly grasp it and have a full understanding of it. Well, after those 2 days, I definitely understood the power of having my own list of customers that trusted me. What really drove the point home, though, was when I figured out how much money I could have made during that time had I put more emphasis on building my list from the very beginning. That promotion gave me a real nice cushion of funds to work with, and so I ended up hiring a marketing consultant to help me out even more with my business. We figured out that if I had started building my list from the day I put up my very first website, instead of waiting almost a year to do it, I would have had over 90,000 subscribers at that point, rather than just 12,000. This would have easily meant an additional $350,000 in pure profits during that promotion, minimum. It was definitely a bittersweet lesson, one which I've made sure to learn from. The good news is, you can learn from it too. Trust me on this. You don't want to wait to read another 15 to 20 marketing books before deciding to take action on building your own list. Don't make the same mistake I did. Get started on it ASAP. I'm not the only one I've seen make a lot of money from a list in a short period of time. I've worked with one network marketer after another, some of them veterans, some of them rookies, who put up their own website, built a list, and within fairly short order pulled in $500, $2,000, $5,000 or more from a promotion, and then did it all over again in a month or two, except with an even bigger list. You won't find a single marketer who's been around for any decent length of time that will disagree with this statement. Building a subscriber list of loyal prospects slash customers is one of, if not, the most profitable ways you can monetize your business. In fact, most of them will tell you that every action you take should center on building your list. John Reese, who's made as much as $1 million in 1 day from his and other people's lists, goes as far as to say that, If you're doing anything online and you're not building your own list, you're insane. This is because the internet has made it so darn easy for anyone to do this. One of the main reasons it's taken so long for all these strategies and techniques to be exposed to the majority of the MLM industry is that 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, the internet was still gaining acceptance as a business medium and getting online wasn't such a walk in the park. 15 to 20 years ago, network marketing gurus were using all the methods you've learned about in this book, except they were doing it all offline with physical newsletters and things like that, which is a lot more difficult for most people to do. Plus, the internet rapidly speeds up the rate at which information is dispensed, and so it's no longer possible to keep these strategies under a lid. It's funny how the rest of the marketing world knows that building your own in-house list of customers is crucial to the success of any business, and yet this strategy is never taught to us network marketers who are supposed to be independent business owners. Think your organization is your customer list? Think again. It's someone's list, but not yours. Most companies don't even provide you with the contact info for people in your downline who weren't personally enrolled by you. And in most cases, rightly so. If someone 10 levels down from you sponsors someone and you didn't help to generate that prospect in any way, there's really no reason you should have their info. Even if you are in a company where they provide you with the contact info of your entire organization, it isn't of much use to you as any kind of customer list unless you have a pre-existing relationship with all those people. That's where the real value of the list is. Obviously, the reason for these measures is because companies don't want distributors promoting other opportunities to their people. But I'm not talking about promoting other opportunities. I'm talking about providing value by giving them additional training, content, and other tools and resources they need to build their business through things like online affiliate programs. And just as a side note, the issue of people hopping around from MLM to MLM is a whole other subject in itself. But a point to be made is this. This is something that's so normal in our industry anyways, and attrition rates are so high that you just have to factor it in. That's the nature of our business. The best way to protect yourself against this is by practicing the strategies talked about in The Renegade Network Marketer. One of the main purposes of monetizing your prospecting efforts is that it protects you against tire kickers, freeloaders, deadbeats, and people dropping out of your business. If a prospect never joins your opportunity, or does or doesn't do anything, or they end up joining another company, you've already made money off of them in some way, and so you're not operating at a loss. It's like an insurance policy that makes sure you're profitable. Plus, if you position yourself as an expert resource to people, and their loyalty is with you, this further decreases the chances of them leaving. So, since your organization isn't your own list in the truest sense, you need to have one above and beyond that. Can your organization be part of your list? Absolutely. How? By making them your customers first before anyone else's, which of course is done through your own website. You may have 5,000 people on your list, and of that, maybe 700 of them are in your MLM. This means your list is segmented into two different types of customers, people who have qualified themselves at different levels of interest. Each group has different needs, and therefore you can make different offers to them. Making people your customers first has to be the primary goal of your marketing. You simply cannot afford to invest time, money, and energy into traffic generation, advertising, and any other business activity you can think of, and not do this. What do I mean by making them your customers first? Well, for one, as we've already talked about, you have to sell them on you. Preferably before you sell them someone else's product or send them off to another website. It doesn't always have to be done in that order, but the point is, you yourself have to stand alone as a valuable resource to them, apart from anyone else. The second part, and arguably the most important, is that you have to retain the ability to contact your prospects about anything you want, whenever you want. This is vital to both the survival of your business and your overall potential for growth. Your MLM is not the only thing your customers want or need. Anyone who's interested in a given subject is inevitably going to be interested in a host of other similar, related subjects. Your prospect is interested in MLM because they're interested in financial freedom. What else do you think that means they're interested in? Repairing their credit? Managing their money? Investing it? Finding all their tax loopholes? The possibilities are endless. Not only that, but becoming a business owner creates more new needs than almost any other occupation I can think of. Anyone who's serious is going to need to learn sales, marketing, leadership, time management, you name it. We all require tools, training, and resources to be successful at what we do. There's no reason you shouldn't help your customer solve all these other problems as well. In fact, as a business owner, that should be your goal. You want to be continually brainstorming ways you can get people to spend more of their money with you. This is called increasing your customer share. A few well-known examples would be Barnes & Noble selling CDs, Amazon.com selling camping equipment and automotive supplies, Walmart selling groceries. After they figured this out, Target wasn't far behind. McDonald's selling salads, and now DVDs. Google selling business tools. None of these companies started out with these things as their main focus, but once they had an existing traffic flow of loyal customers walking through their doors, whether physical or virtual, with which they were able to leverage off of, the equivalent of having a list, they were free to offer them anything. This is where it gets really fun, because once trust is established and a relationship is built, it's easy to get your customer to buy more things from you. It's the sweet spot of business. For network marketers, this also requires a serious shift in thinking where you become the bigger parent company, if you will, and your MLM falls underneath you. If you have a list of 5,000 people who have already done business with you and who have come to know you before ever being introduced to your MLM, they will always be your customers. Your opportunity is just one of many services. And as long as you maintain your relationship with them, you can continue to make different offers to them forever. Unfortunately, a large percentage of MLM companies create a very hostile environment that discourages their distributors from exercising this kind of freedom or independence. This is one of the reasons why network marketing has garnered a cult image with some people over the years. Oftentimes, distributors are religiously instilled with the belief that their product and their opportunity are the only ones out there, and to even suggest anything else is blasphemy. I remember back in one of my previous companies, there was a big upline leader who at one point recommended another product to her people, and she was practically crucified for it. She became the outcast at our local meetings and was completely shunned by the other leaders. I was even told by my sponsor not to talk to her anymore. Does this sound like being an independent business owner to you? Is a true business owner restricted in what they can and cannot offer their customers? Because Walmart stocks Duracell batteries, does that mean they can't also carry Energizer? If they sell Pepsi, does that mean they can't sell Coke? If you don't generate your own prospects and/or you send them directly to your company, the fact is you are restricted like this. But if you develop your own customers that are loyal to your business first, before sending them over to your MLM, you retain the ability to continue to market to them. Make sense? Let me give you another, more applicable example of this. When you have your own list, you can do what are called joint ventures with other business owners. This is simply where you find another business that has the same type of customers you do, and you agree to promote each other's products to your list. Or maybe just one of you promotes the other's product in exchange for something else, like a higher than normal commission or exposure on their website. Even if you just decide to promote someone else's product to your list without any kind of special deal, it's still a form of joint venture. Whatever the arrangement is, this is one of the best ways to generate tons of qualified prospects and sales for your business in a very short period of time. The reason it's so powerful is because, one, you're reaching a large audience that you know for a fact would be interested in what you have. And two, you're doing so with the added credibility of having your message endorsed by someone that audience already knows and trusts. You could probably put an ad in front of these same people that more or less says the same thing, but it won't be nearly as effective as having the list owner themselves recommend you. A while back, I did a joint venture with a guy who owned a tax savings book that was written specifically for home-based business owners, a perfect fit for the customers on my list. Now, when I sent out an email to my list recommending his book and directing people to his site via my affiliate link, anyone who clicked on that link and then proceeded to buy his product or opt in for his newsletter became his customer. But that didn't mean I lost them as my customers. That didn't mean I forfeited all my rights to contact them. Now, the same people were on both of our customer lists. Since he had them on his list, he could offer them further products, and I was able to do the same. And just because I did a joint venture with him didn't mean that I couldn't do future joint ventures with other people. See, the thing is, there's no such thing as an exclusive customer. It's foolish to think that someone is only going to do business with you, which is the kind of scarcity mentality that most MLM companies, and frankly, a lot of uplines, operate from. Just because you don't recommend something to your customers doesn't mean they're not out there looking for it themselves. Remember, anyone who's interested in a given topic is inevitably going to be interested in a host of related topics as well. Your prospects are buying things from other people too. You might as well be the one to point them in the right direction so you can benefit from it. Basically, what you're doing is sharing customers. Businesses do this all the time. Take FedEx/Kinko's. They figured that while people were making copies of things and buying office supplies, they might just be interested in shipping a few items as well. They're sharing customer bases with each other, but that doesn't mean they lose them when they do. Think of your MLM as a form of joint venture. If the product that you provide for people is information and guidance on how to build a successful home-based business, it might just so happen that those same people are interested in finding a business with which to apply those techniques to. Enter your opportunity. You're just one business sharing customers with another. They're not exclusive to either of you, and both of you have the right to sell them more stuff. The key here: what separates a business owner from a sales rep and what allows you to have your own customers is that you have to have something unique to offer people above and beyond your opportunity. The more you yourself bring to the table, the greater your returns are. By taking this approach, one where your MLM is one of multiple products you may offer, you are now an equal with your MLM as a business entity. If you don't have anything unique to offer people, then you're just like every other sales rep out there, and your capabilities, your rights, if you will, are a lot more limited. Remember how I talked about increasing your customer share by getting people to spend more of their money with you? These benefits can be enjoyed to an extent by relying completely on your MLM company or someone else, like an affiliate program, and sending them prospects without first capturing their contact info yourself. For example, if your MLM company comes out with a new line of products and you have an existing organization with them, you'll probably see a nice increase in your commission checks from these new purchases. But there's obviously no reason not to make them your customers first, and by failing to do that, you're really missing out on where the majority of the money is made. This is like investing in real estate just for the cash flow alone. Oftentimes, there isn't any. And ignoring the long-term appreciation, which is where 90% or more of the real profits are made. If you've ever read Robert Kiyosaki's books, you know that the difference between the rich and the poor is that the rich own, well, technically they don't own because they have corporations set up in their name, but they control. You have to control the list. If you do, you wield enormous power. A whole new world of possibilities open up to you because a list is a highly valuable business asset you can leverage off of, just like a piece of property and a prime location. This is where things start to get really exciting because you'll find that you have a lot of influence in the marketplace and with other business owners. When you have a quality list of customers who trust you, you have the power to make other people a lot of money in a very short period of time by promoting their stuff. And so all of a sudden, you have all kinds of deals and offers coming your way that you never would have been exposed to before. You'll also find that you have opportunities to advertise in places and in ways you wouldn't normally be able to. With this kind of asset, you reach a whole new level of business that is never enjoyed by sales reps. Now, think about this. As distributors, we build the customer list of our MLM company, and we forfeit the true value of it, thereby making it their asset, not ours. With the way this business is traditionally done, our companies are the ones that enjoy all these benefits we've been talking about, not us. It's like paying someone else's mortgage. You're renting when you could be owning. Not only that, but you could be owning and having someone else paying your mortgage by monetizing all your marketing efforts through your list. What's wrong with renting? Well, there's the obvious downfall of throwing money out the window every month without building any equity. But there's also the issue of stability. If you don't own, you're really at the whim of whoever does. If for some reason you ever lose your dwelling place, are evicted, or have your lease run out and not get renewed, and you haven't built up any equity, well, you're out of luck. It's back to square one. What does this have to do with MLM, though? We have residual income, right? What happens if your company goes out of business? What happens if it gets shut down by the FTC? I don't need to tell you that MLMs come and go in this industry all the time. Even the big-name companies that have been around for a long time still go under. It's no different than the rest of the business world. I've known more than a few people who put all their eggs in one basket, built very nice incomes in MLM, and banked on those checks being there for the rest of their lives, only to have their company go out of business a year or two later. This is not uncommon at all. Right now, as I'm writing this, huge numbers of leaders are packing their bags and fleeing from one of the most well-known nutritional companies around because of its massive legal troubles and uncertain future. Years ago, I had a friend who was building an organization in what was one of the largest and most promising MLMs in the industry at that time. He was doing quite well, and he planned his whole future around this company. He sold his real estate business so he could focus all his time on it, moved into a bigger house, and bought a new SUV. A couple years later, I found out that company had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I was shocked because this wasn't one of those hundreds of little startups we're all warned about. This was a company that had been around for well over 10 years and who everyone thought was here to stay. Bankruptcy and the Federal Trade Commission aren't the only things that can jeopardize a distributor's dream of walk-away income, either. Despite the fact that so many people look to our industry as a way to escape the corporate totem pole they've come to loathe, the reality is corporate-type politics can play just as much a role in this business as anywhere else. As two-faced and hypocritical as it sounds, it's not a rare occurrence for someone to lose a sizable downline because of some bogus made-up infraction of their distributor agreement, all because their company felt they were paying them too much and wanted their monthly check. Even worse, I've seen income stripped away from top-producing distributors because the owner of the company, or someone cross-lined with a lot of influence, didn't like them. In one of my previous companies, a good friend, an upline mentor of mine, finally achieved his lifelong dream of being able to move his family down to Fiji with him to become a full-time missionary, thanks to the residual income he'd built up, only to have his entire organization yanked from him shortly after moving down there because he was friends with someone the owner of the company didn't like. Thankfully, he was able to continue making money by servicing those people in other ways because they were a part of his own list. Does this sound too far-fetched? Does this sound like something that could never happen in our industry? An industry that offers the little guy his last true shot at the American dream. Just check out the DRA, Distributor Rights Association, at www.mla-dra.org for more examples like this. They even have 7 different categories for the types of terminations that companies will use in order to acquire organizations from high-earning distributors. One of them is personal conflicts. There are actually consultants who specialize in helping multi-level marketing companies figure out creative terminations and compensation plan loopholes in order to avoid paying out big commissions. Some of them are speakers at DSA, Direct Selling Association, events. Your own list is one of the best insurance policies against these kinds of things, as well as your company going out of business. Without one, your entire income can be swept away from you in the blink of an eye, and you'll have to start all over again from scratch. Now, it's important to point out that there are tons of reputable companies in the industry who have nothing but the best interest of their distributors in mind. And while more common than one might think, these kinds of incidences are the exception, not the rule. There are also plenty of incredible residual incomes that have been built and maintained through network marketing. But the point is, we MLMers need to follow our own advice we give people in the employee world and build multiple streams of income ourselves. We need Plan Bs just as much as anyone else because stuff happens in MLM just like it happens anywhere else. You never want to be 100% reliant on any one thing, person, company, or product for your income. You need to have as many different sources of revenue coming in as possible. If there's one central theme of the Renegade, it would be this. Your business needs to be centered around you so that you have complete control over it. And in order for you to make as much money as possible, you need to develop your own business assets. Your customer list is one of the most valuable assets you can develop, but there are also other things like your own traffic, example, ads you place, other websites that link to yours, your own testimonials that establish your credibility, your own content, example, articles, email series, your MLM organization, of course, your relationship with your customers, determined by how you treat them and the value you bring to their lives. For example, the exact same customer might be worth three times as much in the long run to someone who develops a good relationship with them versus someone who does not have their best interest in mind and just wants to make a quick buck off of them. Your USP, what makes you different from everyone else? Your website, eventually, your own products. All of these are assets that have a real, measurable dollar value, some harder to measure than others. They not only protect your business, they also open you up to an endless amount of ways to make money. If you ever choose to sell your business at some point, they would also have a huge impact on how much it would be worth. Don't worry about putting all this together at once. Nobody's able to do that. Just add one piece at a time, little by little. Every time you do, the value of your business increases. Every time you add an email to your autoresponder sequence, it increases your remote control selling power. It's like another 100 sales reps working for you. Every additional piece of content improves the relationship you have with your prospects. It further pre-qualifies them. It increases your conversions, which means more money and more distributors, which means more people in your organization making you money, which allows you to buy more advertising, which means more prospects, and the cycle continues.